from the Carter Subaru Studios. This is the G and Ursula Show with G Scott and Ursula Voitin.
Welcome to the G and Ursula Show, Thursday morning edition. G is off today. Aaron Mason is filling in. How you doing, Mace?
I'm doing great, Urs. How are you?
Good. If you missed our conversation with State School Superintendent Chris Rakedahl, I encourage all of you to listen to our podcast, which will be available shortly after the show. And before we get to agree to disagree, I thought it would be important to share some of the things that you may not realize as you're getting your kids ready to go to school this fall.
Yeah, he said some things that I hadn't heard before.
Yeah, absolutely. So we found out that schools last year were not the source of community spread, but the superintendent says with the Delta variant, things have changed.
This is so different. Based on studies in Israel, England, and at least one study in the United States now, students are big carriers of this variant. Thankfully, still not getting really sick, but more of them are getting sick. More young people are being hospitalized, but they're carrying it like any adult would, and therefore they're shedding virus and infecting others. That's why we got to stick with masks for a bit longer.
So, again, he reiterated what the governor said, which is that, yes, students and teachers will have to wear masks. Mm-hmm. That wasn't really a change, but it was just reiterated. However, he does not expect us to have any full-scale remote learning situations, but he says there is a possibility of some closures and disruptions when outbreaks occur.
The irony is if we don't get more people vaccinated and we don't mask up, what you will see, as you just described, Aaron, is this reality that we'll have quarantining. We will have more outbreaks, and therefore students will have to be dismissed for 10 to 14 days, immediately hit that switch and jump to remote learning. It'll be very disruptive to learning. The best thing we can do to keep schools open, keep everyone there in person, and to have the continuity of learning and recovery of learning is to get vaccinated if you're eligible, to wear your face covering, everybody. That's what avoids the disruptions and the needs for parents to go find, you know, childcare for 2 weeks at a time, every 6 to 8 weeks on an outbreak.
And while he said that he would be in favor of mandating it for school employees, obviously not kids, but school employees, he said that is not within his purview.
Right.
That would have to be determined at the governor's level.
And they do have, the governor does have the authority to do that.
Yes, and you can bet you by golly, wow, it is going to be something very controversial.
Sure.
So we'll see. But again, the good news, I think, right now, just coming out of that is, at this point, they expect it to be fully in person. So that is certainly good news. Okay, let's go to Agree to Disagree, which is brought to you by Johnny Tsunami.
One of these days, we just got to take off the gloves. Just really go at it.
I feel like we need to take a break from some hard news and talk about a little celebrity gossip. But if you've ever been in a relationship, marriage that has broken up, you might empathize with the story. Or not, we shall see. So Kelly Clarkson, she is going to pay Brandon Blackstock, that is her ex-husband, $200,000 in alimony and child support. Ursula, sent this over.
Per month.
Yes, per month. And I'm just going to ask, what was your reaction to this?
Like, are you kidding me? $200,000 per month? Like, who needs? I was reading through it and I thought, well, maybe he has full custody of the children.
Right.
No.
He doesn't.
She has full custody of the, or I think she's going to have primary custody of the children.
Yes, primary.
Why on earth should he be getting $200,000 and this a month? And this is especially hurtful, I guess, because I'm thinking of a friend of mine who just told me this last week where her ex-husband has a really good job, a really good income, and she is only getting a couple hundred dollars a month. I think that's much more the reality, and I'm just looking at this. And by the way, this has nothing to do with gender. This has to do with, that feels like an excessive amount, especially when you are not the one who is taking full care of the kids.
All right, look, I have a few things to say. One is, this is kind of how it goes. I've heard
get over it,
high-profile divorces. I've heard in you know, settlements after those divorces, well, I am accustomed to a certain lifestyle. I am used to living a certain way, and that has been precedent for as long as I'm aware for these kinds of things. Now, being famous or rich or well-to-do, does that have anything to do with it? Well, sure, definitely. Do you guys know the story of Dave Foley?
No.
Dave Foley was an actor. He was in a sketch comedy troupe, The Kids in the Hall, back in the 90s, Canadian. And then he was on News Radio. You remember that?
Yes.
That sitcom back in the day?
Yes.
Joe Rogan, Phil Hartman. Yep. Yeah. So he was on News Radio and was doing really well. It was actually like the most money he made. It was sort of the peak of his paychecks as far as Hollywood goes. And that happened to be when he got divorced. And his divorce settlement was based on the money he was making at the time on News Radio. And then that show ended. Work kind of dried up, and he was still having to shell out like $150,000 a year, not a month, but a year. And eventually,
you have to go back to the court and say, "Excuse me, my situation has changed, and I need an adjustment."
He tried; they said no, and then he ended up owing almost like $500,000, and Canada wouldn't let him come in anymore.
Okay, how do you feel, Chef?
That sounds like an argument for Ursula's cause here.
Thank you.
It's the law, but it's not right.
It's not right.
I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying if that's what the judge said, I'm sorry, Kelly. You may have to appeal this, but them's the breaks.
I mean, this
isn't the first time this has happened.
I don't know if it isn't a gender situation, because my understanding from folks that I've talked to is that generally speaking, alimony, et cetera, has been heavily favored towards women in divorce cases. I could be 100% incorrect. Text me if I'm wrong, because I'm sure there are many anecdotal situations out there completely to the opposite.
Yes.
But this feels like the rules that everyone's been playing by. Now, Aaron, you're right. It should be adjusted if your income goes down. But Kelly Clarkson is worth $45 million.
No.
She can afford this. Like, I don't understand why it's a problem for her.
Well, she may be able to afford this, but maybe that money can go elsewhere. But does he need $200,000? Is that what we said? $200,000 a month when he doesn't? If it's supposed to be for spousal support and the help of the children, that feels like an excess. And I would say that the same way if it was a man and a woman was suing for that amount of money. Maybe for the first year, but in perpetuity?
By the way,
I think it's usually until the kids are out of the house.
It's like $45,000, $46,000 a month for the child support, and then $150,000 a month for him. That's how that 200 breaks down.
Well, how would you feel if the numbers were smaller?
That seems switched.
So let's say Kelly Clarkson made $200,000 a year and her husband made $40,000, right? And so a judge ordered her to pay like $5,000 a month. That would be sort of like the equivalent ratio of earnings. That doesn't sound as bad, does it?
It doesn't sound as bad. No. And
it's,
I understand,
it's just the $200,000 figure.
Well, and that she's making this incredible amount. But once you are done, I think the first thing that needs to happen is, yes, you take care of the children. But the fact that his amount is three times more than the children,
that
makes
bizarre.
No sense. I don't think we're going to agree on that one.
Yeah, I think that's a difficult one. But let's move on to the city of Berkeley.
Okay.
First in the nation to offer an unusual perk in their prison facilities there. I guess I should say jail. In the city jail, they're going to be the first to offer, yes, vegan meals. All right. Hey, Aaron Mason.
Yeah.
You seem like a softie.
What gave you that idea?
I don't know. Yeah. No reason whatsoever.
My opinion's on everything.
Should jails offer vegan food? I mean, I could see a prisoner suing and saying that it's cruel and unusual punishment to force me to eat something that I philosophically and morally believe I should not be eating.
I will quote the tome known as Storage Wars. Yep! Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, look, we make allowances for religious beliefs all the time, and I don't think that that level of belief and commitment and respect that comes with it is exclusively for people who, like, worship a particular god or go to a church. Or I think there are religious level beliefs that you can hold that have nothing to do with an actual system of faith, and veganism is one of them. I'm not a vegan. But I understand the deeply held personal beliefs that people have that they think it is not okay for them to eat animals or animal stuff. And if that is how they roll, you know, if you go to prison and you are a Muslim, as far as I know, a jail can't force you to eat pork.
And there are plenty of other pork-free options.
But there are vegetarian options. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm just going to disagree with you, and maybe I'm a bad person, but I feel like...
I need to pull that.
Also, it's Berkeley. Let's not forget. Exactly. When in Rome.
Exactly. Well, I'm just going to say that I feel like if you're in jail or if you're in prison, you cannot get every single perk that everyone else does outside of prison. And I don't think it is inhumane to say... deal with this that's not, it's vegetarian and we're not forcing you to eat meat, but it's not going to be the perfect meal that you expect to have when you're outside of prison.
It's not every single perk. They're not asking for HBO. You know, there. This is what you put in. This is what you put into your body.
Yes,
and I think that. I think there's a distinction to be made.
I think if there are adequate things, I don't think it falls under the same category as religious beliefs. Great.
Really?
I know exactly.
Really?
I know. And I'm just, yes, am I parsing? Yes. But I just look at that and it's like, okay, how far do you keep going? To me, I feel like there needs to be some punishment in the part of prison.
It doesn't have to be good vegan food.
This is right.
I mean, I want to point that out.
Be. It won't be.
Yeah, they're not having, you know, cauliflower rice and all that stuff. Like maybe just some saltwater crackers.
We're also talking about jail. Right. Okay. This is jail, and that's not. You haven't necessarily been through due process at this point.
Okay, that's true too. Corrections officers, I know you listen to us. Please help. Okay, so would it help you if inmates have vegan food?
One of the reasons I bring this up is because I feel like a lot of these stories, you hear about them, and then about a year and a half later, you get a headline. Seattle City Council member proposes.
Yeah, right.
But before I close us out of this particular topic, Aaron,
yeah.
I believe we had a conversation a little while back about QAnon Shaman and how ridiculous it was that he was going to get vegan food in jail.
Did
you say that?
Yes,
yeah.
You did.
No, I did.
Hypocrite.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Big time. Also, that guy stinks. I don't care about that. That guy's a special case.
Okay, you've probably heard that it's getting pretty crazy for flight attendants. It's been the worst year in history for passenger disturbances. Everybody's rude. Everybody's angry. And some of them are getting ridiculously out of control to the point where they have to be duct taped to their seats en route to the emergency landing destination. And now flight attendants are going to be taking self-defense courses to protect themselves. Mm-hmm. And I thought, hey, that seems like a great idea. Should we expand on that concept? I mean, every kid in school takes PE. Should we be teaching self-defense in school, Ursula Roytine?
Absolutely. That is a brilliant idea. PE, in many ways, can be one of the most worthless classes. Except I think that there is a need for the children to get that exercise, et cetera, et cetera. But grading it, unless you include health in it, why not put self-defense? That's a great movement, and that is something worthwhile. I would rather do self-defense than playing dodgeball during PE. Because that is, like, bullying.
Bullying, huh?
That is worthless to me.
Ursula, the joy stealer.
I say that as someone who, I was okay with dodgeball, but I saw how some people were really picked on.
Yeah.
And it was a chance for people to pick on the most vulnerable. And you know what? Those things... And I'm not trying to be soft here, but those things can be scarring for life. Yeah.
And if only they had some self-defense skills to run over there.
That's right.
Yes, 100%.
First of all, be soft. There's no shame in being soft. I don't want my gym class to change. You know what I mean? I don't want to have to like actually go out and do stuff. Gym class for me was like, okay, we're gonna play a little dodgeball. I'm gonna hang out in the back. You know, not really. Oh, see, if I have to get involved, I'll get involved. So many of my female friends when I was in high school would have their periods two or three times a month. quote unquote, they couldn't participate in gym class. You know,
you never know.
They'd have to sit this one out. I don't know. If you're going to actually make people get involved and do something, self defense might not be the worst idea. But I just don't know that level of
engagement.
Wrestling, like whatever you want to call that
wrestling,
level of that level of physical altercation.
You want to just do kickball and dodgeball,
yeah,
and then just skate.
Yeah, I think it's a recipe for trouble.
This is my idea, and I think it's one of the worst ideas I've ever heard of. And here's why: because if you get a group of kids together and you teach them how to, like, this is the human body's most vulnerable point. Do you know what they do next? They go right out and they're like on the playground.
Right.
Hey, I want to show you something. Whammo! There goes the knee right in the groin. Hey, let's try to do the carotid. What this would do is create a bunch of kids in schools that are able to, like, really incapacitate each other.
Yeah, we're not talking about police level training. We are talking about basic self defense. Absolutely,
basic self defense.
I will say,
what are you okay with,
Chef? Like, let's be real now. We are two men having this discussion, and Ursula is a woman, and the reality of self-defense is very different for her than it is for us.
Yeah, you don't have to go out in public and have to worry
about what.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
that being
said, and for some men, it is an issue, and they would appreciate the self-defense too. But
that being said, like, how many of you out there in the audience, 98973, like, you knew a kid in school that started taking Taekwondo or karate, and despite his teacher's warnings that it should only be used in dire circumstances, first thing when he comes out on the playground, whoop-ah! Just nails you.
Okay, and how many, while you're texting away, how many of you remember the horrible days of dodgeball?
It's character building.
Okay. Very finally, this is TaylorMade for Aaron Mason. Scientists have found that bees buzzing on caffeine are better at their jobs.
Yeah.
I don't know why we need this research, but it reinforces the hypothesis that we need to produce. Aaron?
Yeah.
Are we just working too hard?
Yeah, bruh. Are you kidding me? 100%. Who do you know that doesn't take some sort of drug for something to get through the day? And I don't mean, like, necessarily a physical, whether it's caffeine or a stimulant, sugar, right? All that kind of. We are cranking up so high to get through every day with very little energy at the end of it that, yeah, I think we're getting to a place where, like, just normal natural isn't enough, that people are turning to stimulants and stuff all the time just to get through our day because we're pulled in 1,000 different directions constantly.
Yeah, I think the word busy is used too much to describe all of our lives. So I will go with that. Do I think everybody's working too hard? No, but I think that here in this country, we don't value vacation.
Right.
And downtime as much. Absolutely. And that starts at a very young age. Okay, still ahead. We were going to talk about it an hour ago, but we're going to talk about it this time. We're bringing back Simone Biles and that whole controversy, and we've got some updates on that. And you are listening to the G and Ursula Show. We appreciate you. Thank you so much for hanging out with us on the G and Ursula Show. G is out today. He'll be back tomorrow. Aaron Mason is in. So in case you haven't heard, and if you're wanting to be surprised, maybe you should...
Spoiler?
Spoiler alert. American Sunny Lee won the gold in the Olympic gymnastics all around. So she clinched the gold with her teammate Simone Biles watching from the sidelines. And she said after Biles opted out of the competition, she felt a lot of pressure on her to win.
This whole season I've been second to her. So I just did my do best. Didn't focus on it though because I knew that I would get in my head and probably do really bad. But I stayed focused throughout the whole thing.
And she now becomes the fifth woman, American woman, in a row to claim the title. And she says it still hasn't sunk in.
There are definitely a lot of emotions, but I'm super proud of myself for sticking with it and believing in myself because this medal would not be possible without my coaches, the medical team, my parents.
And as you know, Erin, the Simone Biles story has been dominating the Olympics coverage. Her decision not to compete in the team and in the all-arounds, and she was very open, and she said, it's because I'm not in a good headspace. I've been dealing with depression and these demons, as she described them. And she said, I just did not feel like I could continue, and I need to focus on my mental well-being.
Yeah.
And a lot of people have opinions on that. G and I shared ours yesterday, and I wanted to see where you weigh in on this.
Yeah. So at first, my initial gut reaction, which I've gotten, if I may say, pretty good at checking that, I find that more and more my gut reaction isn't necessarily either right or what I end up, the belief I end up coming to. And at first I'm like, girl, you're like, this is it. This is the peak, the Olympic state. Like, this is what you've been working for. Like, tough it out, grit it out, right? That's what you're supposed to do. And then sat back for a minute and kind of listened to what people were saying and looked at stuff. And a question of toughness, there isn't one. I mean, Simone Biles is an outstandingly tough competitor and human being. Championships with toes broken in both feet, kidney stone, I think, for the like world championships.
Having to endure sexual abuse. People forget that she is the only one of those survivors of that abuse to continue to compete.
Yes. And that is what really turned me around. Like, oh, she is reliving trauma. And she is among the American Olympic Committee. I think that's their name. Will not take any responsibility for Larry Nassar. That was his name. The
doctor.
Rapist, child pornographer, who was the doctor for the gymnastics team, and the horrible things he did to so many kids, and Simone being one of them. So you know what? If she wants to take a minute, if she needs to, right? This isn't. I'm sure this wasn't a decision that she came to lightly. But she said, I have to protect myself first. I have to do what's important. It's so easy for us, and we do it all the time, to tell athletes especially, stick to sports. You're just this one thing. You're not a whole, complete person. You're just a guy who catches footballs, right? And that isn't the truth. You're dealing with real, whole, full, complicated, damaged, working through stuff people. And to do this so publicly, did I come to respect that?
Yeah, and I feel like she doesn't owe us any explanation. She doesn't. And even if she hadn't gone through all these different things that we have just talked about, all gymnasts understand. They understand that when you say that you lose your space, you know, where you are in space and what you're doing, and there are documented cases where gymnasts have worked through that and they are permanently injured or die.
Yes.
I mean, it's
writer's block. It's the yips, they call it, when pitchers don't have it, you know?
Well, I got to play a little bit of devil's advocate, because I think some of the reaction to this is like, oh, it's an entitled athlete. I would posit that she has earned that privilege. However, there are a lot of people who don't have the Simone Biles option. I can't step away from my job, my career, my life, whatever it is. I don't have that same power and privilege, and it bothers me to watch her be able to do that so publicly. It feels very unfair to live in a society where that's possible for the privileged.
And I understand that, and it shouldn't be reserved for the privileged. And I say that as someone who has shared openly that I've been in a business that most people don't last very long in this business.
Yeah.
Let's face it. Okay.
Yeah.
I have seen and done a lot in over 30 years.
Yes.
I was working ridiculous amounts of hours, not taking care of myself, trying to manage a huge newsroom in the middle of, and being a woman in management when there weren't a lot of women in management in an industry where there weren't a lot. And I felt like I could not show that I was struggling mentally.
Right.
I felt like until I literally had to get taken out of here in a stretcher, I wish that that hadn't been the case for me.
Right.
Why should we look at someone and say, well, I didn't have that. I didn't have that afforded to me. So she shouldn't either.
Why do they?
And so I'm speaking for people who, I got an email from someone, one of our listeners, and it made me tear up. And she said, Ursula, please never stop speaking about mental health.
Yeah.
And she talked about how, you know, it's the most important thing. If if she's 58 years old, she began therapy about a year and a half ago. And when the news broke about Simone Biles, she was devastated for Simone, but also brought back things for her as well.
Yep.
And when those of us say things like, just pick yourself up and get over it, to someone who's in the middle of a crisis, that will not help you.
Yep.
You cannot physically, you would not say that. It's like if your brain is broken, you cannot say that. And when I say broken, it's temporarily, but in a situation where you have no control over it.
Yeah.
You wouldn't tell someone with multiple fractures on their leg, just start walking.
Yeah. Rub some dirt on it. And,
exactly. So that is one of the things that I think is the positive outcome. Yeah, you know, not everyone's going to agree, but I think that it forces us to talk about this. And just because it's not a possibility for us, I wish it would be, and we need to keep fighting for that possibility.
Yeah.
And I have to fight my own urge to say, are you kidding me? Are there people who abuse that and just throw mental health out there for everything? Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
But I'm going to assume
people are going to abuse everything.
Yes, but I'm going to assume in generally that's not the case. And it's unfortunate that in my case, I felt like I had to start working. And I wasn't, you know, I did get help.
Yeah.
But I had to work like 2 days. I didn't feel like I could take time off. I started working. I didn't feel like, I felt like it was going to be a sign of weakness.
Right.
If I said, oh, the one woman in management, she can't handle it.
Right.
I wasn't really the only woman. But I'm just saying, at a time when I think it's slowly becoming more accepted.
I agree. And I don't blame you for your situation in the same way I don't blame Simone for hers, because it's a systematic issue, right? It's not, why does this person in a privileged position get to do this thing? It's that's who gets to do it first. And then people can look. How many people do you think have been through this newsroom who you've told that story to, who have thought twice about, you know, maybe I will take a couple days off or try and take care of myself better, or, you know, turn a corner because of your experience. I've done it, right? And that's how you have an impact. So hopefully, yes, this is more steps toward a better tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, still ahead, we hear you, and of course, our words to live by. You are listening to The G and Ursula Show. And this hour of our show is brought to you by Guardian Operations. Welcome back to The G and Ursula Show. Thank you so much for hanging out with us today. It has been a fun show, and this is the time when we share your feedback. And we're going to start with the Pierce County Sheriff's deputies who say they couldn't track a murder suspect because of some new laws. 509 says, you know, do not turn a canine dog loose unless you have a visual on the perpetrator, because if you turn the dog loose and he bites the wrong person, officers are right back to being the bad cops.
360, the cops chose not to use the canine to track the suspect. The rule says don't let the dog bite, so track and detain. They chose not to, or just couldn't find the guy.
360 says police have not been defunded, but they have been defanged.
You're talking about Kelly Clarkson having to pay $200,000 in alimony and child support. 360 says, I agree, it's excessive. No one needs that amount of money.
And 253 says, alimony should be for 6 months only. After that, you're a grown man or a woman, and your lifestyle is your responsibility.
It's not a bad idea. 253, you can ask for a review of child support every 3 years in Washington State.
That is true, and my husband is one of those who reviews it. When it comes to drivers using phones, 360 says, I was sitting in traffic on I-5, and I got a big scolding from a truck driver as I was calling family to tell them why I was late. I was shamed, and I learned my lesson. Yes, I do beat my phone at people at traffic stops.
That's right. Should jails offer vegan food? 206 says it's healthier for the prisoners and indirectly saving the planet by supporting plant-based food. It can save us from our climate disasters, saves water, land, stops diseases and viruses like the cell from hell from hot dog and dairy intensive farms. Plant-based is better for all, imprisoned or not.
360 says everyone disagreeing with this idea is 1,000% wrong. Do you really want to punish people in prison? Offer them nothing but vegan food.
That's a good one. 253. Oh, hey, boy. They're in prison. If you don't like it, don't do the crimes. Or do your time, get out, stay out, and go full vegetarian, or even, God forbid, vegan. I'm eating steak and Roy. P.S. Dodgeball is awesome. The first one of you I'd go after, without a doubt, Chef. Sorry, buddy.
I love that one. Scenarios. I took my anti-vax friend's daughter to get vaccinated. 206 says, totally agree with Ursula. You do not go against someone's family if the child lives at home under the roof in their belief system that is not to be undercut by a relative, a neighbor, or a friend. I have friends who are Christian Science. I wouldn't dream of taking their daughter for any procedure from ear piercing to an inoculation. Backstabbing betrayal is going to be hard to fix.
425, if the daughter caught COVID and ended up with 70% lung capacity for life, or passed it on to mom who then ended up in the hospital, how would the friend feel then? 1 in 3 people get long COVID. That's pretty good odds for one unvaxxed household. The friend was trying to protect people she cares about. If it costs a friendship, so be it.
Again, though, I would just work through the mom first. Should we teach self-defense in schools? Chef says his idea... this was his idea, is one of the worst that he's come up with. I thought it was great. You're so funny. Phil in Gig Harbor says, I am driving with my 11-year-old daughter in the car, and aside from her laughing at the thought of kids trying karate on each other, she thinks that self-defense would be in her words. Awesome.
Yeah, 425. Self-defense, I agree. If you teach kids techniques, then they will most likely go try them out.
Okay, I don't see this here, but there was a self-defense instructor who said self-defense would be great for kids and adults, and it gives them confidence. So I'm adding that in there, even though it's not here. And then there's 425 says, Issaquah High School has a PE self-defense class that my daughter took. She learned a lot and feels more confident to protect herself.
206 says they grew up in Bellevue in the school district in the 70s. And not only did we learn self-defense, but also first aid and CPR. Yeah, that's good.
Okay, there you go. Dodgeball. 206 says dodgeball. We called it slaughterball. Love that game. Bring back PE.
253. Ursula, they haven't allowed dodgeball at school for several years.
See, I didn't know that. 425 says dodgeball. Yeah, there's some trauma there, but it was a blast.
All right. Rest in peace, Ron Popeil. My guy, infomercial king, 253, says Ron got so much of my money over the years.
He didn't get a penny of Aaron's, but he had Aaron's eyes and ears. 360 says, I have a lot of late night TV stuff. Set it and forget it. That's ingrained in my memory. Uh-huh. Then there was As Seen on TV Store in the mall. Fun.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They have them at Rite Aid now.
That's right. Bed Bath & Beyond is a whole section, I think, too. 206, the hairspray was the best. Yes, the bald spot hairspray.
Christmas tree blocking.
Yes,
for your
head. Absolutely.
And then I'm going to call this our text of the day. 206 says, Ursula, 5 years ago, my manager at the time went to the president of our company and staged a medical intervention because my mental health was in a dire state. That literally saved my life as I had been close to suicide. And now I talk about mental well-being at every opportunity to hopefully be able to help someone else.
Cool.
And now our words to live by. And maybe this is the theme for today. Remember to be kind, be patient, be generous, be accepting. Be all of those things, but start with yourself first, because that is where it begins. Our words to live by are brought to you by ProClub.com, a club like no other. Aaron, thank you for coming in today.
Ursula, thank you so much. Chef Andrew, you guys are absolute pros. It's a treat to be in here with you guys.
It really is a treat for all of us that you, the listener, share the 3 hours with us.
Yeah.
It goes by so quickly. Sometimes I have to remember, my God, I'm getting paid for this.
Uh-huh.
Because all of you make it so wonderful. Thank you so much. Just remember, stick around. The Dori Monson Show is next. I hope you all have a fabulous day.